Media Network.
3, 2.
And we're back.
And we are back.
It's Roast with KM Bell and Tom. They're your Roastmasters.
I'm sorry. I thought I heard you say something.
Yes, I did. I actually did say something. I've actually got jury duty in the morning. How many of you Americans out there have had to do jury duty?
I've never even been summoned.
Yeah?
I have lived in the same house, 11 years now? And the one before that was 3 or 4, and never a summons. I want to. Absolutely. I've had enough jobs that jury duty sounds like a fucking vacation, man.
Well, I'm taking a class, and I've got clients, and I've got other shit going on. So it's a little bit of a it really chafes the queen's mayonnaise.
Perhaps she should try penicillin to see if that would clear up.
Yes, she wants to whatever kind of cutlery she wants to bring to that fight.
Yikes!
So. I have no idea what I just said.
The queen's mayonnaise.
Frankly, it doesn't matter. So, are you? The range of this conversation is that we're actually catching up after quite a while. There's been a number of things that we've been doing, you and me, separately.
Sure.
And it's been kind of crazy. And I think you're. Yeah. Are we speaking from a new studio?
No. Not the old one, though.
Not the old one. A different studio.
Right. I'm just trying to make myself a little more comfortable here since we're going to chit-chat. And I don't need to make a dissertation.
That's good.
No, it's... right now, it's just a temporary setup where everything is.
Okay.
You know,
that's fine.
It's too... I don't know.
But look, we don't have to talk about details if you don't want to talk about details. And that's perfectly okay. I'm fine with that.
I like details. You know me.
Yes.
I'm trying to tell the story without sounding too overly whiny. and so it doesn't sound like a fundraising pitch when I mention Patreon.
Now, which Patreon would that happen to be, Jeff? Would that happen to be the Left Show Patreon? Ladies and gentlemen,
if you're listening
to this fine broadcast, this podcast, this progcast, it's not a broadcast, it's not a podcast, it's a progcast, a progressive podcast. Remember, the Left Show, Patreon, the Left Show.
No. It's patreon.com/defendmedia.
Defend Media. You should know this by now.
It's only been 3 years.
You should know this by now. It's been over a year.
Yeah, we're good. No, just, you know, things are in flux, and I have managed to secure at what took, a year and a half of unemployment. I am now a part-time associate at my local comic book retailer.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
No. Yeah, I'm pretty happy about it, actually. I mean, it's like...
Oh, that's great.
I'm 45. My feet fucking hurt. I broke my back doing something. And...
Oh, wow.
You know, it... Well, this is fun, because I've obviously told this before, but I've got... I wrote this down so I don't say it wrong, so that people don't send me letters explaining back shit to me.
And about backs... What about backs, Jeff? Tell me about backs.
It's I got a herniated L3 and L4, and L5 S1 have nerve impingements. So obviously it hurts.
Yeah.
And what happened? It's just been killing me for a couple of weeks now, and it gets worse every day. And then for Monday last week, I started, you know, working at the comic book shop over at the nerd store, and. Through judicious use of shiatsu massage chairs out in the hallway that you could dump a dollar into and get a couple of minutes. I shit you not. It made everything kind of tolerable for a while. And so I'd run out there every couple of hours and throw a dollar in for a minute and a half, and it'd beat the shit out of my back. And I'd be like, okay. And I'd come back in. but it kept getting worse every day. And I get painkillers for my migraines, but I don't take them very often.
Right.
And so usually a 30-day supply will last me 90 days or so. And I burned through at a regular rate of a post-surgical, you know, patient. I was taking three a day, and it wasn't, it was getting to the point where it wasn't doing anything. So I was going in the chair, and then the chair stopped working. And so Thursday, and this was the way that it was explained to me, and then I will, instead of using doctor words, I will tell you how I explained it to him. And he said, yeah, fine, if you want, if you have to. You know how you step on a Lego?
Oh, God. And yes, I know very well.
There is an involuntary yoink, a knee jerk, if you will, of your foot, making your leg move away from that pain of the Lego.
Right.
So with the way that my back was hurting, as I was walking around the store doing stuff, my legs were really getting angry. And finally, my right leg was like, no, we've had enough. And it refused to let the knee, lock so I could take a step. And instead, it kind of buckled and I rolled with it, tipped over. And then like a great turtle flipped upon his back, I couldn't get purchase enough to bend to get back up for a couple of minutes until just with arm strength alone, I managed to pull myself up on a table. And so I talked to the manager. I'm like, dude, you know, I know it's my first week. I feel like an asshole, but I am going to drive myself to the hospital now. And I did. And I went over where my doc was. And they just kind of ran through it top to bottom. And then they threw a bottle of muscle relaxants at me. And okay, so now I'm sleepy. My back still hurts. On Mr. Skeleton here, I don't see where the muscles are affected by this, but you're a doctor, so you know what you're doing. And, you know, and then he recommended a chiropractor to me, which not only can I not afford, but my insurance doesn't cover. You know, and the thing is it's not my regular doc. It was one of his backup docs. So
wow.
I'm not even mad.
Right, right. So those are options.
Well,
those are options if you have money.
Which I do not have, because I am, for all intents and purposes in fundraising, you know, I am homeless. Yes. I am, I'm transient right now.
Yes, yes.
At 45, I mean, whoever ever thought? I mean, I thought the last couch I bounced was in my early 20s, but,
right,
you know, there we are. And if that tugs your heartstrings at all, theleftshow.com has a PayPal button for one-time donations. I'm not proud. I'm not proud.
I should just like, this is going to be just this 20-minute show. This is what this is going to be.
Yeah.
This is going to be the fundraiser for Jeff.
Nah.
That's what it has to be.
It's fine. No, I got good friends that are taking care of me. Everything's working out. I'm part-time down at the comic book shop. I might end up a bus driver if they can ever get a hold of all my references. And
wow, that's great.
It could be. It could be, or it could be that I have sciatica and I'm going to be spending, you know, 12 hours a day driving a bus. So who knows?
Right.
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 We don't get a lot of cross-pollination on this in the comic book show and even less on the Patreon stuff. I've talked about it. So I'm 45 years old, as we've talked about 150,000 fucking times just since my last birthday. And
right.
I am, for the first time in my life, working in a comic book shop, or basically it's the nerd store. So it's more than just comic books. They got game stuff. They've got, you know, toys, dolls, bag issues, all this awesome stuff.
That's awesome.
And I've worked retail before and never liked it. I do not like sales. I am the guy who makes the tools for salesmen to sell shit. That is my job. I make advertisements. I'm emotionally manipulative to those that watch the messaging that I do. That is what I do. What I don't do is go for the throat and get the fucking sale. I've never been good at it.
Right.
You know, I'm like, here's your brochure. This will knock them dead, you know, and then you close your own goddamn deal, sales guy. So here I am, this old, this recalcitrant, and you know, this is a culture that I love, even though I feel as though I've aged out a bit. But two of the guys that I'm working with, most of the time are pretty close to my age. Just a couple, three, 4 years younger than I am.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been doing it for a long time. We love it for a long time. And I'm brand new. I'm learning how to run a fucking cash register again, which is, I got to tell you, fucking weird. And I don't think that's the part of the register as much as it's whoever put it together had much, much smaller hands than I do. So I'm constantly knocking shit over and throwing it around because my big meat paws don't fit. But you know, all those days, in the 5 days I worked last week, Monday through Thursday and a long shift on Saturday night, I was never unhappy. My back was fucking killing me.
But you were never unhappy.
Never. The only thing now, I was unhappy about on Thursday when I went to the hospital.
When's the last time that happened? Think about it. You're at a place and it gives you joy.
It does.
It does, and that's good.
And everybody I've told that to is like, oh, yeah, just wait. It's like, I don't want to wait. I'm enjoying this. I wish that this was something I could do to make a living. It's not. Yeah. No. You know, this is obviously a Band-Aid for how fucked up my situation is right now. But
it's a transitional situation, but eventually it's a move away from where you were before.
Right. So now, ultimately, if we were to paint a picture of what Jeff wanted to happen next, it would be, I would be able to do this, my 20 to 30 a week, and then fill the rest of the time with freelance gigs that made enough money to continue to pay off my obligation to my family, but also let me, you know, eat and stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe someday have a roof of my own. But yeah. It's
just life weaves its own unusually funny quilt work patterns, and who are we to laugh at it?
Well, I am. I always laugh at life, because if you don't laugh at life, you're going to strangle it and go to jail. It's but I don't me walking into a retail environment at this age and being just as giddy and stupid happy as I am, I'm answering the phone like I give a shit, and it's because I give a shit.
Yeah.
It's not fake radio voice. It's me having fun. I'm calling people that don't clear out their comic book holds on time, and I'm not feeling bad about it because, you know, you order comic books. You got to come get your comic books. Those shit costs money. So I...
Hey, fuckwad, your Jessica Jones is packed and it's overflowing into the next bin.
Never, just
come
never.
Come here and pick it up. Fuck wad.
No, I'll give it to you. Let's pretend Tom Cheevers is... Hey, Tom, it's Jeff down at the Nerd Store. We noticed we haven't seen you in quite a while, and we've got some comic books in your hold that we've been hanging on to for a while. I was wondering, do you want them? Why don't you give me a call back, and let's figure out what we're doing. I appreciate your time. Have a great day. And then you move on to the next one.
Praise Jesus.
My favorite one is when there's friends of mine on the list and I get to call them and bug them. That's when it turns into shithead and fuckwad. But
there you go.
But yeah, it's No,
of course.
As I have been job hunting now for months in another round, I've been constantly barraged with people that are sending what they believe to be helpful messages and notes. Don't be too proud. You know, work at a gas station. Nothing wrong with a gas station.
I'm never going to give you any of that shit. That's never going to come from me. And I know what you mean.
But here's the thing.
I hear you. I hear you because, I mean, there's been a... I cannot explain why I'm busy. I cannot. And it's like I know that there are people who are suffering and struggling, and I cannot explain these differences and why it happens to some and not to others.
But that's the thing. I have applied to the gas stations. I'm not too proud to work in a fucking gas station. You know, I have been desperately searching for any kind of paycheck I can get my hands on. I have four clients right now that I've done plenty of work for, and one of them made a partial payment in December, and that's the only money that I have seen come through to me since October. And it's frustrating, and you know, one client was like, well, you know, my business partner doesn't want to pay you because he doesn't think what you do is worth pay. So I can't pay until I can sneak it to you and he won't notice.
Jesus God, you're kidding me.
And that's the end of that conversation. What the fuck do I say? I can't take the shit back.
But Jesus God.
Well, it's who people are, and it's, you know, everybody's got their own goddamn life struggles. Okay, fine. You should have told me that before. And please, you know, let's be aware of this when future work is asked for. That's just it. It's don't be too proud. I'm never too proud to work a job. People who do retail sales work harder than I do, no matter how hard I work. People who work in restaurants, in gas stations, in fucking fast food, they are up on their feet and they are getting greasy and they are dealing with assholes all the time.
Right.
Not only did I get lucky enough to have a buddy who owns a comic book shop, you know, it's a fucking nerd store. It is a comic book shop. And you know what? People that are assholes there, they're assholes because they don't like Batman. And they're wrong, but it is not fatalistic like some soccer mom who wants to talk to the manager because there were only three pickles on her fucking Big Mac. So, I mean, it's just, and that's just what it is. I know people were trying to be helpful, and some of them were insanely helpful, you know, pushing me in directions or giving me ideas, and that helped and this helped and all of that. But it was the ones that were giving the condescending advice that I will believe they were giving with good intentions that were the most frustrating, because there are six gas stations in the immediate area around me. I've put apps in all six of them four or five times in the last 20 months. And one of them finally did a callback interview and then never called me after. And what I'm getting from them is it's like, well, you've done so much and your experience, yada, yada. And so the well-intentioned keep telling me to dumb down my resume. There is a point where dumbing down your resume too far turns into fraud, because if you're going to touch money like you do at a gas station, even if they're paying you shitty, they're going to run a background check. And the fact that I've worked at the DNC will fucking pop up. The fact that I was a special advisor to the mayor of the capital city of Utah will pop up. These are things that will pop up. And so if I lie about them to get in the door when they do the background check, I'm fucked. And I have now committed a crime. Now, it might only be a misdemeanor around here, but I don't have the juice for that either. You know? So it's the lie. Take a shitty job. Quit being so proud, asshole. No, I am not proud. I am desperate. And you know, I got lucky. It's like I feel like I dodged a bullet getting this gig right now. And so I'm my attitude is better than it has been in weeks.
It's a step. You have to step one step at a time. Little steps, little things, little steps.
Well, that's the problem, is I want to be here forever. I love this job.
Yeah, well, maybe it could be. I mean, maybe you could be
better,
busy doing a second job or some other kind of opportunity comes up, and that would be your other job. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
If it works, it works. I mean, to me, the thing about jobs and revenue, it's so fucking crazy. I mean, when I was trying to get into advertising, I had to, what did I do? I mean, I couldn't, the shame of what I felt, and I didn't need to feel any fucking shame about it at all, it was that I couldn't finish school. I ran out of money. I felt terrible about it, and I had to pay it off. And that was my life for a while. So it was, how the hell can I get, I'm going to do it or die trying to get into this business. And then at the same time, try to honestly represent myself, because I have to look myself in the mirror. And I take these jobs, and I could do these jobs, and I could learn. That's all I really, really need. So it's just, in some cases, you just see, you lie about what you're capable of. Well, when you're in your 20s, I mean, that's an entirely different situation. Now, when you have a couple of years underneath your belt and you've got some experience, to me, the thing is that a job is a job is a job. I can't tell you how many places I have applied to. Perhaps I have aged out of certain things. Fine. Fuck you. I don't fucking care. I will take the job that I can get. But if you want to put it on a reason, whatever stupid fucking reason that you have, that that is an ageist reason or whatever. I've just concluded that over the last 8 or 10 years, the reason that people are getting jobs and I wasn't getting jobs was not related necessarily to my qualifications. They were using somewhat different criteria. And it didn't matter because I had a family. I have a family. They have to be fed. I've got a roof over their heads. I've got to pay for. And it's like we're going under. And I know what it's like to just like be at the end of your rope. And there's what the fuck else can you do?
Yeah.
I'm tangentially referring to what you're talking about. But at a certain point to me, fuck it. I say at this point, I just said, this is who I am. You know, take it or leave it. And I'm not going to dumb down what I can do. The criticism that I get from other people is that I undersell myself. And frankly, I'm not the kind of person who asks for money. I'm not a person who really toots my own horn too much. Depends on how many drinks I have in me. So there you have it.
I don't know. But I used to be too proud. I'm no longer too proud. You know, I mean, that was it. I realized, and I apologized on the left show on Monday.
For what?
It's, you know what? I've been phoning it in. I didn't realize that I was. Because the shows are fine. They're good. But I have lacked the enthusiasm for a couple of years now that I had in the beginning when I was aggressively advertising, when I was pushing the shows, the network, and we were growing. And then, you know, I get fired from a job I was really enjoying and it just cut the legs out from under me. And pretty much every other relationship in my life, but one or two, over the last 18 to 20 months, they've been toxic. And that's why I've been so desperate to get out of town is, you know, it was a Julius Caesar moment, August of 2016 for me. And, you know, I got rogered, but good. They got me. They absolutely got me. For the first time in my life with what I was doing and people screaming in my ear as they had been for decades, stop micromanaging, delegate. And so I delegated. And what did it do? It fucking blew up in my face. And, you know, that pond is too fucking small here. You can't have that many people screw you over and have any direction to wiggle. It's gone. And fuck them. I don't want to work for them anyway. Utah Democrats don't deserve what I know how to do. So
then come to Oregon then because we can. Believe me, I mean, this is a tangential thing that you can cut out if you want to. But believe me, we've been looking around for you. We've been calling around.
I'll come out. To some. I will. Sure. I just sure. I can't do to anybody that's offering to help me the I'll come out on a question mark. You know.
You got it. No, you. I know that you would have to have something specific.
Yeah.
So.
Because don't get me wrong. If I have a job, I will happily live in a tent in your backyard for years. But
we get a big backyard.
I'll be the weird mountain guy that sits out there. And...
What's Uncle Jeff doing?
he's pretending he's the macaroni and cheese guy on the side of the road. Everybody loves macaroni and cheese. It's what's for dinner.
I mean, come on. I mean, this is going to be a campaign year, so.
Yeah. I don't even have a fucking nibble. And that has never happened before. I'm not kidding. It's too many people were in on my screwing because it took a dozen of them or more to fuck me over as well as they did. And they really did. And I still can't talk about it because I am still bound by my non-disclosure agreement.
Are you talking about what I think you're talking about? Are you
the unnamed?
You're not talking about agency work. You're talking about
political work,
right?
Yeah,
that bad.
Yeah.
Well, I can only. All right. I think back. I'm haunted by when I left a particular place. I was so it rattled me for a long time, and I thought, why didn't I go talk to somebody when I was there? Yeah. Why didn't I like get some a little bit of therapy and shit? I didn't think about it.
Sure.
And what had happened was a situation had turned toxic for me, where my friends, my work, everything else had happened, where I actually found a lifeboat job and I was actually pretty happy in it as an art director. And then the agency literally sold itself to two people who did not know how to run an agency, merged it with a third agency, and then the original owners departed with as much money as they could. Meanwhile, we had gone from doing really promising, amazing work to doing car ads, not just auto, not just the dealership ads, but we can't afford to go out and get typesetting ads. Ooh. So you're going to go and print up shit on a Macintosh, and this is 1987, and you're going to go and print up Times Roman, and you're going to cut it and paste it in place, and you're going to like it. And it was like I let things go bad, and I think about that. When things go bad, we get angry, and sometimes we burn the bridges around us. And I can't go back there. I can't go back there. And I remember one of the people whom I was, who was one of my roommates, who was sort of tangentially in the business as a freelancer, we had a falling out. And then years later, he invited me to his wedding. And I was kind of a little skittish about, should I? I mean, I really wasn't very nice. We had a falling out. We had a falling out. And what are you going to do? So I remember sitting there, you know, across from him, with all our friends, we're all together, you know, the good friends and him and, you know, his new wife. And then all of a sudden he like looks at me. And all of a sudden there's this look in his eye. And I was going, oh, he remembers. And I thought, that's why when bridges are burned, you can't go back. I'll never forget that.
Why invite you? Why would he set you and him up like that? That makes no sense to me.
I agree with you. And it's like, that's the thing about people. I think sometimes people forget. I remember that. I mean, a lot of people, they forget. I don't forget. Maybe that's a curse.
I remember when I need to. I don't, my grudges, they don't take up a lot of active energy. It's just more like my brain is aware that I have people that have it coming and I keep it quiet. And then every once in a while, if there is an opportunity that presents itself organically, fine, I'll take it. But a couple, one of the guys that screwed me over in 2016, I had every opportunity in the world to have him fucking deported. That's pretty good on the revenge scale.
Wow.
And I just was like, well, yeah, he fucked me over and he's a talentless douchebag, but I'm not going to do that to him. You know, it's like, that's.
Or will I?
No, I wouldn't. But you know what? I did. It was a moral struggle for about, let's say, over the course of 3 days, about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Where it would, the dark part of my brain would pop up and go, hey, buddy, all you got to do is make a phone call. All you got to do. And I didn't.
I could tell you this, Jeff, that when there are times, I know if I am having that kind of conversation in myself, I know I am going too far. It took me a while. It's weird because I think there was a certain part of my life where I finally got in control. I finally owned my anger. We've had a conversation about this.
Sure.
But that took me to having, was it settling scores? No, it was just standing up for myself in a lot of cases. But sometimes that consumed me in places I didn't have to go in. And believe me, I can't say I'm perfectly free of that, but yeah. We all have our burdens.
I don't know. When I was young,
oh my God.
No, late teens, early 20s, you know.
Prank phone.
No, vengeance was a fetish. And it was, you know what? I needed evensies sometimes. And that's what it was. I worked at a coffee shop and
and
the coffee shop that I worked at, it was a chain of eight, and my store made $1.6 million, you know, this one particular year, and the closest one to me made 600. and I got cheated out of my bonus, which was supposed to be considerable, by a new vice president that had just shown up out of nowhere, who decided that coffee shop store managers shouldn't get bonuses, even if they had been promised them, you know, throughout the years leading up to. And then when I protested loudly but politely, he fired me. So, you know, I am not proud of what I did. Yes, I am. I'm so proud of it. Because life was easier then. You didn't need certain documents to file in bankruptcy court on behalf of someone. So I gave him a headache. I gave him a huge fucking headache where he had to go to court a few times to prove that he didn't declare bankruptcy. That's all. All I did was start his paperwork for him, and it caused him some grief and made him not be able to spend the money he stole from me right away. But he got to keep it. I mean, ultimately, yeah, he did it. All I did was be a fucking headache. That's it. And other than that, yeah, there were times where my little vengeance fetish would basically result in me punching the shit out of somebody. I've done that, but I haven't done that since my 20s. You know, I'm not a child anymore. I don't need to hit. I still know how.
No.
You know, make no mistake. I still break punching bag machines, and it's not on purpose. You know, so I did. I scared the shit out of some teenager at a arcade thing here. Went with the family, and I was showing off for the kids. And I just lay it into the bag. You know what I'm talking about? The speed bag. You punch it, and it tells you how hard.
I do.
And fucking thing just broke. Bam, 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 bam. It was just like, I only hit it once. The fucking needle went past 1500 and stopped. It pulled an error on the machine, and it turned itself off. And the kid behind the counter, is just looking at me like he knows he's supposed to say something because some customer just broke a machine. But that customer broke that particular machine. And I'm like, dude, I am so sorry. What can I do to make it up? You know, you want to say my name, my number? He's like, you're fine.
Go away.
I appreciate you. Maybe it's time for some laser tag. So we did. We played laser tag, and I got my ass kicked by a 10-year-old. So, you know, it's all cyclical. And that's just it. It's another reason I want to leave town is I do still get the tickle, you know, and I do know too much, and I do know too many skeletons, and I don't want to be that guy. And I keep getting tempted to be that guy because the assholes that fucked me over used that to leverage financially what they have turned into a very profitable fucking business that was built off my genuine hard work. And they're doing it in a disingenuous way that's actually taking advantage of a bunch of people that used to care for me and that I still care for. So, yeah, I'm pissed. And I just would rather get the fuck out than deal with it. You know, so I have been aggressively looking for jobs in other states, which is fine. You know, I got family members that owe me money that aren't paying me. I got clients that owe me money that aren't paying me. You know, my everything with Brenda is all fucked up to a point that I don't even recognize what the hell is going on anymore. Me getting out of town is the smartest goddamn thing in the world. I just don't have the gas money right now. And the one good job lead I had, which was actually there in Portland, they're like, well, as soon as you can prove that you're permanently here, we'll have you in for a job interview. It's like, well, no. I am not moving to a city to have an interview with you. Even though our first two went well and you want to do face-to-face, I'll drive out for a face-to-face. I've done it before. I went from Salt Lake City to fucking Phoenix, Arizona overnight once because somebody wanted to meet face-to-face and needed me to prove that I could do it. And I didn't get that job. Thank God. Fucking Phoenix. Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
God, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
What about, I mean, SLC being what it is. But what about, okay, can you say what kind, can you give a hint about what the Portland job is? You can't?
It was just an agency job. I think actually it was one you sent me to look into. And they're just like, you know, if you live here, we will talk to you. You know, they have three offices, one in San Fran, which I will never live in San Francisco. I will never burn that much money on shelter. And I love the town. I'll visit the fuck out of it, but it's too expensive. So there's one in San Francisco, Portland, and Austin. And Austin is like, in my list of cities I would go to, it's always at the bottom, but it's always on the list. I got a lot of friends in Austin that I knew. And so it's like, right now it's Seattle, Portland. Honestly, to me, they're a little interchangeable, though I do like Seattle because I can get to the water quicker.
Yeah.
And San Diego's on there. Denver's obviously on there. Even though I know so few people there now, it's creepy. I just love Denver. And the 10 years I spent there were the best years of my life. I mean, they're just amazing. And Minneapolis, actually, I would go back to Minneapolis, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Austin, because all of my Colorado friends moved to fucking Texas and never left. And I don't know why. Because I remember being in the cars in the apartments with these whiny fuckers when we were all just sweating balls and hating it. And then they moved down to sweaty ball land. You know, I don't understand what you're doing down there. What are you doing down there? Your balls are sweaty. It's gross.
Stop it.
And Austin, it's all surrounded by fucking Texas, man. Texas.
Mop it up. Ugh. Mop it up.
Now you're just talking naughty.
It's grotty. It's grotty. That's a made-up word.
Okay.
We've been thinking about what's going to happen next for us, and I actually came to the conclusion that the West was an enormous destination for me as a kid. And actually having achieved that in my 20s, I'm thinking about, well, what are we going to do next? Where are we really going to go? I really don't know. I mean, it would be getting, I really do not know. Traveling the world, doing good would be one thing, but we're not financially like that. We're not those kind of people.
I do not find myself in the tax bracket of a successful philanthropist.
I'd love to be
a philanthropist, let me tell you. In fact, it is one of my life's goals is to have enough money to philanthropy.
I would not want to be a philatelist, though, because the collection of stamps bores me.
Yes. Flatly. What is a flatlyist? Is that somebody that's addicted to river dance?
Philatelist. It sounds dangerously close.
To Felicius? What?
It sounds dangerously close to something else.
Well, it's either Michael Flatley or it's fellatio. I'm guessing you're leaning towards Michael Flatley as the scarier of the two.
And the goddamn river dance.
Dude, I don't give two shits. I thought Riverdance was fucking awesome. And I would watch that shit over and over and over again.
My kids have such a negative response to their heritage that they basically go, you're just like, if you're not drunk or eating a potato or sitting in a ditch or laying in a ditch face down in the side of a road, you're not Irish.
Okay. At some point it sounded like you had a problem with this very accurate summary of your people.
I think that they understood. They understood the downtrodden.
I don't understand what it is you're so worked up about. There's nothing quite like having a potato in one hand and a point in the other, face down in a ditch, missing your left leg. If that doesn't scream, by God, I'm Irish, I don't know what does. I don't.
It's his will, it's his way. I took a look at the Lord. He's got sad eyes is what he does. And he was singing me a song and went like this.
Oh, Danny boy.
Here comes Peter Cottontail.
Oh, my God, seriously?
Up and down the bonny trail. Clinkety, clankety, he's got polio.
Oh, I can sing that.
I can sing that because I had polio. There.
Oh, my God.
There.
You social justice warrior, you.
You social justice warrior dragging your left leg behind you.
Fuck, I'm going to have Danny Boy stuck in my head for a week.
Oh, Danny Boy, have a potato.
Well, that's what killed him,
The potato.
He choked on an unmashed mashed potato.
The exhaust port.
His ma said mashed. It was only smashed. Big chunk of tater stuck in his throat. None of us know in the Heimlich, because how do you spell it?
We did. It's a tet charman. A It's a German. And maybe in heaven half an hour before the devil slips and cracks his wicked little skull on the pavement vestibule.
Well, now you just got all racist.
I mean, like that. That way. Well, I'm 78% Irish. I mean, my mom was Irish. So
hey, self-hate. It's bad, I could do man. That you got to see somebody.
I could do that, too.
Yeah. I don't know.
My really, really Irish on my mom's side, they were fucking mean. My dad's side, however, evened it out because he was goofy.
That's good. Like Irish goofy or some other kind
silly.
Of?
Dad jokes. Oh, silly.
Wonderful.
Just silly.
Outstanding.
Just, yeah. Anyway, we veered off.
You think?
So. So,
look, I'm content. I'm ready for change. I'm ready to build change. I'm in a much better mood. I got a girlfriend that I just adore to pieces. I you know, and while that may be causing problems back home, that's fine. She had a boyfriend before I had a girlfriend. I don't see why we're all so upset. But I do. I want to get somewhere where I can hit a big fat reset button. I need to get somewhere where I'm comfortable. Mm. Now that's going to start with making enough money to buy a fucking chair that isn't trying to kill me, because chairs suck and I'm a big guy and I have to buy expensive chairs and they're made shitty even though they're expensive. So that's number one. Number two is finding a way to make the comic book shop job work as a core while I make more money doing freelance stuff. Now, I don't know why I think I'm going to be able to pull this off when I haven't been able to pull enough fucking freelance work to even come close the last 6 months.
Yeah.
But hope springs eternal. It is an election year.
Now, please tell the audience what your Greeley skill set, what your skill sets are best at. And besides organization, creative direction, what's that really mean? Are your words, pictures, what? Tell the audience because people listen to this.
Look, here's the problem with answering that question is there is no single answer. And it's one of the reasons why my resume is so fucking annoying to HR directors. You know, I did come up in words and pictures. And somewhere along the way, those split off into two different groups and no one ever told me. So, you know, when I got back to a real agency and they're like, and I'm, you know, I'm obviously summarizing, but they're like, words or pictures? I'm like, yes. No. Which one are you? Do you make the pretty or do you make the words? And it's like, well, I do both. What? You do that? What else do you do? I'm an audio engineer and a video editor. And, you know, and I do political strategy. Really, at the top of my game there. I understand all of the bad, dumb things humans can do and can plan accordingly, unless it involves myself, as I have proved. You know, it's so when it comes down there, it's like I'm great at strategy. I'm good at campaign strategy, communication strategy. Thank you, dear. And you know, and that's it. It's like I for years sold myself as I'm a two-legged advertising agency all by myself,
right,
all wrapped up.
Right.
So it's all there. I've done it all. but honestly, at this point, I would be happy to be somebody's brochure monkey. I'd be happy to build your fucking website and I'm good at it. You know, I'll build you a logo. I will come up with your catchphrase. I'll write you a fucking jingle because I can do that too. So
gotcha.
So when you say, what's the thing you're good at? I don't know. Throw something at me, you know, 99 times out of 100, I'll get it done.
I need a logo. I need a logo. Why need a logo?
Why do I have to pay you for a logo? It's just a word.
It's a word. I just type it out in Optima and then I set it in Word. That's what it is.
Hey, I want to hear you scream. So I'm just going to mention that you notice Kellyanne Conway's back in the news out of nowhere.
I feel so good.
You got a rage on going down there?
Actually, I've got something for you. Actually, I'm really glad you brought her up because that is really, really, really important. We have to, we have the possibility of talking about that.
I will let you have, we can do 5 minutes on that and then I got to cut it because it's editing day.
Okay.
So you want to do some Kellyanne Conway, or do you want to talk about the fact that Mike Pence remained seated because he was
closeted homosexual.
Yeah, because he was quietly protesting something he didn't agree with at a sporting event. So he remained seated instead of standing like everyone else.
Yeah, total. That was just, you know, when you've got the wrong people taking these jobs, look at what they do when they try to represent us overseas.
Yeah.
They're just stupid and shameful. You know, just stupid. Stupid. Did I say stupid?
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, we have to do it. I have to find what I'm looking for here, because bear with me. I know exactly what it is.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And JC here.
Oh, and Taylor.
I want to talk to you about Patreon. Patreon is how, for the most part, we are paying the bills around here.
Come on, help us pay some bills.
It's important. These shows cost money to both make and distribute, and we don't ask for money very often. And what we're asking for here is you, as a listener, pitching in $5, $10 a month, you know, over the course of the year to help us grow and get bigger. We need it now. More than ever.
But look, you're not just throwing us money. We're going to give you something really unique for your money. Normally, everything you get from us is free. You get a free download of our podcast, The Left Show, the world's greatest podcast, comic book podcast, and of course...
The truck stop visits.
Yeah, the truck stop visits and Geek Therapist. And instead, we're going to give you exclusive content, stuff that we record separately that is then put out for only you to listen to.
Yeah, and I don't have dollar restrictions on that stuff. You pitch in $5 a month, you pitch in $25 a month, that's it. There are goals there if you do throw in a little bit extra. We send you presents as soon as I can find them.
Yeah.
And for those of you that are waiting for presents, I just need to find the boxes. Don't worry about it. But no, with Geek Therapist, the world's greatest comic book podcast, and of course this, The Left Show, and our exclusive content, you get more as a Patreon member of our family than you do anywhere else. So go to the website for your favorite of the Defend Media families, whether that be theleftshow.com, worldsgreatestpodcast.com, or geektherapist.com. Click on the Patreon button, become a part of the family, and start getting the cool shit nobody else is getting.
You know you want it. You know you do.
Just do it.
There are 10 jillion podcasts in this crazy world, but there is only one that serves a fresh pot of, hi, how do you do? I'm Tom, your host of the Coffee Cast. My mission is to make it as compelling a listen as you'll find it. I'll talk about all kinds of subjects. Sometimes I'll have guests. Good stories, because people listen to what interests them. And sometimes it's the Coffee Cast. So if you're listening as you're texting the 7th draft of a resignation message to the soon-to-be former psychopathic boss, gift shopping rotary phones for your great-great aunt, or skydiving for the first time without a parachute, whoops, welcome to the Coffee Cast. Remember, you can download a fresh Coffee Cast podcast anytime at Stitcher and iTunes, and now on demand on the Progressive Voices app and ProgressiveVoices.com. So until the next podcast brewed, I'll do my best to keep it fresh. The Coffee Cast Podcast.
What do you miss when you miss The Left Show?
Huckabee, being a former pastor,
yeah,
and the biggest mouthpiece for the Christian right, has proven himself time and again to not be a Christian because he believes that Levitical law is absolute and was never removed by Christ.
Right. So he's a rabbi, yeah, and therefore not Christian.
Yeah, yes. He's Rabbi Huckabee.
Why not? Then he gets to eat better deli food.
Oh. Haven't the Jews been through enough?
Yeah. Oh.
That was a good point. Good point.
I am pretty sure.
I know
we got a little bit to go, but I am pretty sure Taylor just won the show.
Fresh episodes every Monday on iTunes, Stitcher, and theleftshow.com.
Well, I am glad we waited 45 minutes for that.
Now, if you've been following politics over the last 15, 20 years, maybe 20, 25 years, who cares? You know, this current crop of people who populate the White House, there's a fair number of them who actually had something to do with constantly ginning up the game against Bill Clinton until he shot himself. And what I'm talking about is all of the Republican operatives who were always scurrying around, always showing up on all the cable shows, talking about how whatever Bill Clinton was doing was edging one step closer to impeachment, or they'd find something, they'd be perpetuating Whitewater, whatever.
I think they were just pissed because they have to pay for their blowjobs.
Now let's talk about Kellyanne Conway, okay? Kellyanne Conway. Let's think about this for just a second. Why?
It's like Beetlejuice. I got to hit the button.
It is. Now, she just doesn't work in the White House in a hermetically sealed environment of her own making. She got there because she was a political hit artist. Not only her, but let's talk about who she's married to. Her husband, George T. Conway III, who, as a young lawyer, played a rather historic and maybe largely hidden role in the impeachment of Bill Clinton, who graduated from Harvard and Yale, worked at the New York City law firm Wachtell, Lipton, Rosen, and Katz. Rawr! And was a member of the Federalist Society. How many conservative assholes have you heard? I always talk about Federalists. The conservative organization that led many of the legal challenges to the Clinton administration. When Paula Jones sued Bill Clinton for sexual harassment, George T. Conway III wrote the Supreme Court brief, though his name never appeared on it. The court, in a landmark decision, agreed with Jones' argument that a sitting president could face a civil lawsuit. Thank you very much in a roundabout, backhanded kind of way, because that can actually go toward the orange shit given.
Right.
During depositions in the lawsuit, Clinton denied having a sexual relationship with Monica Lewinsky, which eventually led to his impeachment trial. George Conway became deeply involved in getting out information from the depositions. During that period, he reportedly emailed Matt Drudge an infamous scoop about the shape or direction of Clinton's penis.
To the left, mole.
Yep. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is part of the machinery, the background machinery that you need to know. All right? There you have it.
Well, sure, but she's also sold out her sisters in the party.
She has.
By basically saying, what was the one, that the women who had accused Donald had already had their 15 minutes of fame and didn't deserve any more time, and that he's very good at privately helping women. I think we know what that means.
Privately. How does he privately help? Oh, please tell me. Please inform me, Kellyanne. How does he privately help them? You know, this whole thing in this last 4 or 5 weeks.
He would catch them by the pussy.
Yes, that's right. He does grab them.
If they needed some food, he would grab them by the pussy. Yes. Maybe if they're behind on a car payment. I think you see where I'm going with this.
I do. Yeah. I do. I think I know. For instance, let's talk about the list of women that have come forward about Donald Trump. Has Kellyanne Conway ever talked about the specific individuals whom Donald Trump, has assaulted, raped, or attacked, and then after he's physically assaulted them, gone after them and said that she better not believe them. Nina Lekanson, former Miss Finland, Trump stood right next to me, and suddenly he squeezed my posterior in July 2006. Jessica Drake said Trump grabbed and kissed her without consent, then offered her $10,000 for sex in 2006. In 1998, Karina Virginia, she said she was groped by Trump at the U.S. Open. In 1997, Kathy Heller, she says Trump grabbed her and attempted to kiss her at the Mar-a-Lago. Summer Zervos, that's a familiar name. She's an apprentice contestant. She said, not only did he begin kissing and grabbing her, it began thrusting at her in 2007. In the 1990s, Kristen Anderson said that Trump reached and grabbed. There's an example of that. Jessica Leeds said Trump lifted up the armrest while he was riding with her in a plane and groped her as well in the early 1980s. Rachel Crooks, I've only got two or three more of these, says she was assaulted by Trump in an elevator in Trump Tower in 2005. Don't ride with him in the elevator. Don't even be anywhere near him. Mindy McGillivray.
Hey, what's worse, says, the riding with Trump in an elevator or riding with that rice guy?
Yeah, riding with it in the elevator, or riding with a what?
The football player that.
Oh my God, that's right. Natasha Stoyanov said Trump pushed her against the wall and assaulted her in 2005 in Mar-a-Lago. Jennifer Murphy, apprentice contestant, said Trump kissed her on the lips after a job interview in 2005. Cassandra Searles says Trump grabbed her and invited her to his hotel room in 2015. These are just a list of some of the women, okay, that have said, of course, Rob Porter. Let's talk about him. And there's also a speechwriter who's just, both of which, who have either been fired or fired from their jobs in the White House. Trump comes out and literally says, well, if a woman, you better believe the man.
That's true.
Motherfucker.
He probably did that as well, which is why he doesn't talk about it very often.
He's just fucking evil. Evil.
Take that one.
Fucking
take,
evil.
Yeah, he is.
Yes.
He is. I don't know, man. It's...
We don't have to go there. I mean, but it's
you
just...
Went.
You went!
We just covered
where we are right now.
We just covered the list of accusers. I'm just sitting here just feeling shitty about being a dude. You know?
Yeah, but you're not that dude.
I don't have to be that
this
dude.
This is a conversation. This is a conversation of men. This is a conversation of men.
Anything a white guy does, the rest of white guys ought to just be ashamed about. We've been in charge too long. It is our fault. If a white guy does it, we all fucking own it. So
we own it.
Yeah.
We own it. Don't be fucking, keep your hands to yourself. Ask for consent. Be decent. Treat with respect. Jesus fucking Christ. Talk. Communicate.
I'm trying to talk. I just don't know what to say.
That's just
where it comes out is what do you do? Where the fuck is any moral high ground right now? They could say whatever the fuck they want
anymore.
And the hillbilly squad will fucking believe them. And the left-wing media will repeat it. Doesn't matter if they're doing it incredulously or sarcastically. That still gets through to the other brain-dead morons. They're going to think it's fucking truth. It's all truth to them. And it doesn't matter how fucking ridiculous it is. The fact that he would release the Republican memo and not the Democratic memo, it doesn't matter that that's wrong or hypocritical. It's that these people will wrap their fucking attention around the fact, well, of course he didn't. He's a Democrat. It's why it costs $50 million not to fucking elect a child molester into the fucking Senate. And you saw the financials on the DNC this last week, didn't you?
I didn't see the financials.
There's
in the DNC.
$6 million in the hole. Six
How?
Million in the hole.
Oh,
because,
we're running these races. That's why.
Because Tom Perez can't fucking fundraise. And
why can't he fundraise?
Because he's really not very charismatic and he's shitty at his job. So, look, Tom Perez may be the nicest guy in fucking America, but you know what he's not? Howard Dean. We just need to pull fucking Howard Dean's God. Just because somebody else got elected doesn't mean what Howard Dean was doing didn't work. Because it did fucking work. It's the only fucking blip we've seen by Democrats in the last 20 years was the 2 years of the state party partnership. And we are now 6 million in the hole. The Republicans outraised us by, I think, around 45 million, We've got poll after poll showing that young people are staying the fuck away from Democrats and the Democratic Party and labeling themselves as liberals. They will say they're progressives, but they've now abandoned liberals. And that you are seeing so a 7% per year annual average drop off in young person membership of voting age and above into the left. And you are seeing double digit growth of young voters moving over to the Republican Party. You know, we can't even fucking fundraise. Anybody who thinks that there is a blue tide coming this year has their head so far up their fucking ass they can't stand it. The only thing that would give us anything close to a blue tide needs to be relabeled, because it'll be women. It'll be women that get us there, and it'll be it's not going to happen. I think by the end of the year we'll have a lot more women in Congress. I just don't think that they're all going to be Dems. I don't think there's going to be enough Dems to make a fucking flip. I think we are stuck with this bullshit, you know, until Trump gets bored and quits. I'm sorry, was that... Sorry, you did...
I didn't see that data, but if that's what you see, then that's what's happening.
Yeah, so. I caught it on a news report from, I think it was Vice News last week.
And I saw something similar to that, too.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. But, no. Yeah, you've got...
But you watched it. You didn't say fake news, did you?
No.
You didn't say fake news and turn it off.
I think you have to say fake news 3 times, slam the table, and spin around in a circle, throw salt over your left shoulder.
Yeah, that's Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. There you go. God damn it. So, you know, all I can just say is get involved, get down to your party, get involved, learn how to knock on doors, talk to people, become a precinct committee person, get involved, get going, get started.
I did all that. I did all that.
I know you did all that, yeah. But I did too.
I'm a better person.
The reason is like, if I have all these opinions, I better go do something about it.
Yeah.
That's what got me started.
Yeah.
And that's why I started knocking on doors, you know, for Kerry, because that was, you know, what was important to me. It was crushing that we lost, but at least I left it behind on the road. And, you know, the depression didn't start until about half a year after. You know, at least it pushed it up for a while.
Yeah.
You know, I can't say, I don't know. All I can say is trying to maintain a positive attitude, and we'll do the best we can. These things are just upside down right now. Things are just really up. If this is the world that you want, you know, this is the status quo that you want, don't do anything. Just do nothing. If you want a change, get involved.
Well,
get involved. Get involved.
Look, sir, here's where I say that we're dangerous. It's because you're telling people to get involved, and I just told you that more of them are getting involved on the wrong fucking side.
I'm saying get involved with the Democrats. Get involved in the party.
Yeah.
That I say automatically by just the fact that this is a progressive broadcast.
You keep saying that, and it keeps making me... It's like a broadcast is something that cut off the testicle of a toad. You know.
So you don't want me to say that anymore?
No. I just it's new words. I'm terrified by change.
Progressive podcast, progcast.
Yeah.
So it's not working for you. It's not working. You
got a friend in me. Yeah. Come on, let's break up the camp. But I tell you what, buddy. When you're down, I'm around. When you're depressed, I'm your headrest. I don't know how the words to this song, actually. You got a friend in me. I preferred short people. From Randy
Newman. When we cut this down and we have a show out of this, this is a show. I want to call it Give Jeff a Job.
Aw. Okay. Just please. In another town, please. Get us out of here. We got to get out.
Yes. Got to get out of this place.
Lawyers, guns, and money.
So.
All right, brother. I would like to call this a show. We're at an hour and 2 minutes.
Holy cow.
By my recording. And I still have a whole bunch of shit to cut before I can go to bed. So,
all right, man.
I love you. I miss you.
I love you, too.
I'm glad we're talking.
I'll be thinking of us and thinking of this show when I'm sitting in jury duty tomorrow.
I will be thinking of us and thinking of this show when I touch myself while you're in jury duty.
Well, that's progress.
Well, if nothing else, it's at least acceptance for the weird that we on the left have. Just saying.
All right, man. Until next time.
Same at you.